Hello there. This is How to Die Alone. Hey guys, it's the How to Die Alone podcast, our 25th episode here. I'm making popcorn. All right, so I'm one of your hosts. I'm Stephen Henry. With me, as always, is Matty Boom Batty Williams.
Matt Williams.
And David Wayne.
David Wayne.
David Wolf.
Wolf. Yeah. He's got his Wolf t-shirt on.
Oh, yeah. And we got Zach Rippey in the house.
Yo.
Yeah.
Hey. Thanks for the claps.
No, more applause.
More popcorn.
Keep it coming. More Dippy Pop.
Yeah.
This is in the kitchen today.
Is it? Could have fooled me.
Yeah.
Goddamn butter everywhere.
Yeah, I know. All over me. All over David.
It's a lot of butter.
Matted in his chest hair.
A lot of butter.
Burning tits.
Yeah,
it's... yeah, so, bits, I get it.
Making bits?
No, he said burning tits.
Oh,
he said,
okay.
Instead of burning bits, because we always do.
Right.
You get it?
Burning tits, bacon bits.
The levels here.
Get it? Right. Get it?
Get it. Yeah, welcome, Zach.
Thanks. It's got real dark real quick.
Yeah.
Speaking of dark, I like how your house is 9/11.
Yeah.
Totally suits you.
We'll cover that.
You'll never forget.
Yeah, I know.
And he lives on a dead end.
Oh,
like,
God.
As you're driving in, there's a sign that says dead end, and then we get to his house on, like, 9/11 on a dead end. Only Steven.
I just wish I had, like, a shout-out back I could call Building 7.
And blow it up every week. Watch, it's going to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it called? A gravity free fall whenever you have the controlled explosion?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When they detonate the thermite in the basement?
Yeah.
It kinks in the middle, and then it collapses in on itself.
Right.
Yeah.
But that happened because of a fire that started on level 8 floor or some shit.
Oh, yeah, because, like,
that's what the report said.
It was way higher than 8. How low do you think planes fly?
No. The plane didn't hit Tower 7 or Building
7.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no.
But if you watch that, when it collapses, it kinks in the middle and then falls in on itself like a controlled demolition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But apparently, I think it was, like, on 8th floor or something, there was fires that got out of control, and that's why it collapsed.
Right, from
the fire.
From planes hitting a building.
Yeah, and the debris from the other two towers hit just that one that was, you know, like 4 blocks away.
Mm. Yeah. These are the questions, people.
Mm.
I swear, like, I watched a couple cooking shows, and for some reason, just the idea of burning people. No, I watched some cooking shows, and there was, like, this awful thing where they were, like, down the bayou in New Orleans, and they were, like, they kept saying debris. Like, I got some debris with my pork, and I'm like, what the fuck is debris? And it's like, oh, it's debris. They just don't know how to say it, even though it's a French word.
Wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Emphasis
on the wrong syllable.
Wait, yeah. So these French rednecks didn't even... They're not even French, they're just rednecks.
Yeah, you have just Cajun rednecks.
Cajun rednecks, yeah.
Just grab some old bay on that bad boy. Cook that pool boy up.
You gotta get some of that Tony Saturis.
That's the first time I've ever heard you do an impression, and that was actually really good. I was like, who else is here?
Oh, yeah. No, I do the terrorist in that one joke, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But,
that Silman burned on you, wasn't it?
What?
There was one... No.
That's the cat bit. That's a different one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the terrorist impression is so easy.
Oh, no, you tried to do a... that's what it was. There was one...
I tried to do a Trump, and that was terrible.
It was god-awful. Like, I can't remember who I turned to, but I was like, what is that?
Probably Kevin Holley.
Yeah, probably Kevin Holley, yeah.
And Kevin Holley's like, he's making fun of my dad.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Pops. Yeah. Kevin Holley.
Yeah, I try not to do impressions too often. That way there, they can always be surprising.
Yeah, do you have one for anybody?
One time me and Tommy Gill were outside Modern Vapor, and I just started, like, impersonating, like, the comedians in the scene. And, like, it was going well, and then he told Bobby about it, and, like, Bobby asked me to do it, and I was like, I can't think of how I did it. You know, I can't really do it on the spot.
Spur
I have to, like,
moments,
I have to just, like, do it when I feel like doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
But like, as far as like impersonations of people, like, no, not really. It doesn't sound good.
There's some people in the scene that are relatively easy, like Stopa. Like, everybody has a Stopa.
Yeah. Oh, John Stillman, that's another good one. I just have to go, oh my God!
Yeah. Just gave everything up.
Yeah. Just super flamboyant. Which irritates Jeff Klein, which I love.
I made Ricky do a spit take when I did it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was fun.
Everyone's got a Jacobs, too, I feel like.
Jacobs is almost doing a side Seinfeld impression.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's just like a subdued Seinfeld impression. It's like, what are you talking about?
Your next comic coming to the stage is...
You know him. You love him. It's
John Jacobs. Then he like looks at his hand.
I've never seen him, but he's great.
No, that's what he says when it's someone he doesn't know. He'll just be like, you know him, you love him, because he has no.
Well, at least he brings
no info about him. Yeah. So he's like, he just says that. So whenever you hear him say that, like Iberian, it's somebody he's never seen before.
At least he brings him up in a positive manner.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
What you're supposed to do.
I've never heard him trash a single person before they come up. It's
it's while they're on stage is when the trashing is happening in the back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least he's quiet about it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it keeps it down.
Or he goes, aw.
Oh, well, like, one of the best Jacobs things is when something doesn't land, and I guess he wants you to know it, and he goes, and you'll hear a whistle from him. Yeah, listen for the John Jacobs whistle if you're in the Tampa Bay area.
Do they sell those places?
I hope
the John Jacobs whistle?
That'd be great.
Doesn't stop the rape, it only instigates it.
Yeah. It starts the rape.
Yeah, that's...
You're like, I blew the wrong whistle. I blew the rape whistle. Jacobs just shows up, gangbang.
You know him. You don't love him.
It's his dick.
You know him. We'll make you love him.
Just like a big MTV logo on the side of it.
Just throw you in the back of the next van.
Yeah. Oh, good reference.
Oh, it wasn't a van on Next. It was the bus.
Yeah. There was
Room Raiders with the van.
Yeah, did you ever see that?
No. Nah.
Okay. Because I forget you're like 25, right?
Yeah.
26? Okay. Yeah, because you're like right at that cusp of like, where I'm too old to talk about some shit.
Yeah.
It's just been Teen Mom and Jersey Shore ever since.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, MTV, like, always, in my eyes, was kind of like a fad. Like, the people that liked it, I didn't like those people. So, I was like, you know, I'm not going to watch Jersey Shore.
Right.
And my first girl that I dated in high school, she used to love Teen Mom. Yeah. And then she was like a total, you know, psychopath. So I was like,
was this something she was aspiring to?
Kind of. Like, she was like, if I ever have a kid, I want to name him Bentley. You know, like the first like seasons, like, but the kid's name was Bentley. And I'm like, you're white as fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
you're going to name the kid Bentley after the Teen Mom.
Yeah. Like, what? Who are you?
She named her kid that because she could never afford one. You know,
right.
Yeah, for real. And then she had a. Oh, yeah. She has a karma tattoo on her foot, and I'm just like...
What's a karma tattoo?
She has the word karma on her foot.
Is it in, like, Chinese or whatever?
No, it just says karma. I guess it's just kind of like a reminder...
On her foot?
Not to... Careful what you wish for.
Like the lowest place on your body.
Is it on her left foot?
I don't know.
My left foot.
It's got the karma just like my right foot.
When it comes to karma, she punts it. Just done with this shit.
Hey,
care about other people?
Curb stomp it. Me. I own you, karma. What was it? Oh, that was one of my favorite things from The Simpsons. Was Homer got Apu fired, and Apu comes to apologize to Homer for giving him food poisoning.
Oh yeah.
And he said, "I came to help realign my karma." And he goes, "What? Karma can only be divvied out by the cosmos." And he shoves the door in his face. He's like, "Well, he's got me there."
My favorite thing was the Mr. X thing.
Yeah.
Where Homer's like just putting shit on blast on this conspiracy site. Yeah. It's bagels are just day old donuts.
What's the lineup now as far as on Fox? Like, is it...
No idea.
You don't know? Nobody knows?
Oh, wait, no, it's... Well, I think it's still that, like, cartoon thing where it's, like...
The animation domination?
Yeah, yeah. Cause
it's on Sundays, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Because it used to be like King of the Hill, Simpsons, Family Guy, American Dad.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder what it is now.
I think there's only two of them left.
Isn't there a Bob's Burgers in there somewhere?
Yeah, I think Bob's Burgers is in there now. Well, they may have gotten bought out by Cartoon Network.
The H. John Benjamin Power Hour.
Yeah. Today we bring you H. John Benjamin, presenting H. John Benjamin, featuring H. John Benjamin.
Yeah, in different characters with the same voice.
Yeah. I think they did that on Family Guy. He was like, here's Bob from Bob's Burgers. Hi, I'm Bob from Bob's
You're
Burgers.
Sterling Archer.
I'm Archer. Archer. Hi, I'm Archer.
Yeah. My favorite character he ever did was Jason on Home Movies, though.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I'm lost so much.
Yeah, we went down our animation like rabbit hole. Like, yeah. Once I started the Simpsons breakdown, I'm like, oh no, here it comes. Yeah. I'm going to alienate everybody.
Yeah,
except Steve.
I mean,
so if you're still listening out there, how's it going?
Just go ahead, take the revolver out of your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah,
and somehow, comment that you're still with us.
I went from karma to Simpsons. So, Zach, do you believe in karma?
Exactly karma? What goes around comes around? Yeah, like you reap what you sow kind of thing? Just making sure that's exactly what your definition of karma is.
I think everybody's definition of karma is like pretty much the same.
Well, I think people give karma way more credit than it's due, just because like it's basically in every religion.
You know I mean? And also like, you ever have like somebody do some like really like messed up stuff or some really good stuff, and then they're like karma, like I'm doing for good karma, like you know. So karma has like missed context sometimes. So, but yeah I do it. Go ahead,
Dave. Oh, I was gonna say, you never address it though until after the fact.
Yeah,
like karma. It's like, you know, you'll be walking to work and then you fall down and get your suit dirty or something in some mud.
Well, and then you're like, nobody that is listening to this podcast.
Right. Just start something over. Something like that, where something happens to you and then you start thinking back and you're like, oh yeah, I was kind of a dick 2 weeks ago to Jan. So now all of a sudden that's karma. And it's like, but you don't look for it. If you do it up front, like you were saying, like,
yeah,
oh, I did a good deed, I'm doing that for karma. God knows that you're bullshitting, okay? You're not getting one over on them.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And plus, if you say your dreams, they won't come true or something like that.
Wishes. But, wishes. You know, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I believe in karma, but I also believe that, like, the more good things that you do for people, like, the more you stop, like, wanting credit for it. Does that make sense? The more your brain, like, you get used to it, it's kind of just like brushing your teeth or, like you know, you get used to doing those good things and, like, being a good person. And then eventually, like, good things will come to you.
You know? You can develop altruism?
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's the secret.
You typically see people, like, taking selfies while they're eating, like, gourmet food. You don't see people taking selfies at the soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, look at me. Soup life.
I did it. Well, I mean, eating mac and cheese.
Shout out Mike Morse.
Got them baked potatoes on fleek.
Yeah.
Feed them to the hobos.
I think what you're saying, like, if you actively go out and you're like, I'm going to do this good thing, so it's like putting it in a reservoir of good.
Yeah.
So whenever you do something super shitty, you'd be like, no, but I did all that good stuff.
Yeah.
How does that, why am I getting tased? It's like you punched a cop, that's why you're getting tased.
Yeah, but I donated to the Blue Lives Matter Foundation.
8 years ago.
I should at least get like 2 pulls from the dentist's office treasure chest at this point.
Yeah.
With all the good deeds I've been doing.
Yeah, no, like, we had a professor ask us that. It was like, why do you, like, stop and help somebody that's, like, broken down on the side of the road? Or, like, you see that, like, their tire's off or whatever, and you don't stop and help, and versus the people that do stop and help. And so she asked, does altruism actually, does that actually exist? And so we had like a bunch of answers about it. Like, is it ever truly altruistic? Like, you are only doing it for the good of being good. And maybe. it's like you can find almost something, like, reason your way around. Well, it was crazy how you could reason your way around, like, not helping them out. Like, I gotta go to work, I gotta pick up my kids.
Yeah, you can come up with 1,000 excuses.
I got milk that's
gonna
go bad.
The thing is, good doesn't really exist in a vacuum, though. Yeah. And, like, people, like, an act can, I guess, be good in a way. But, like, it's the whole, like, young thing. Like, we've all got good and evil in us.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it's just the matter of, like, what sort of spot you are in your life. Like, you can... Yeah.
You can... Oh, the one that I brought up was that, like, you might go help to keep you from feeling guilty later for not helping them.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so that can, like, that negates your altruism there, like, because you help them, so
you wouldn't feel like shit bad. Yeah. It's all self-serving. Isn't that, like, a Mother Teresa quote or something?
Do you think the person who, like, you know, gets mugged and you stop it so that, like, you don't get in a car crash later is going to be like, man, I wish he didn't help me. That selfish fuck. Right. Yeah. I would much rather have gotten mugged than get helped by someone doing it for their own interest.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That was, ever since that class, I was like, are people helping me just so they don't feel bad about it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I do it.
Yeah.
That's so why all of us help.
Yeah.
Matt.
Yeah. So yeah, now
but do we really help? Yeah. Yeah, when's the last time you helped somebody? Steven, when's the last time you helped somebody?
I don't know, man.
Matt, you got one?
Depends on what it is, I guess.
He helped a squad win a Fortnite game the other day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dropping bombs and shit.
Okay, good.
No, like I try to give rides whenever I can in the scene.
Oh, the scene is like good
because there's a lot of comics that don't have cars or
like you got trip. Michael Harrison like yeah. 2 weeks ago. That's a good deal.
Yeah, or like yeah, and it's not like I try to do it for the sake of being good and like I just like trying at least thinking I help out.
Yeah,
but if other than that, it's just somebody in the car to talk to.
Man, I just hope you didn't make him laugh on the way.
Yeah, they're like, oh.
You got that Michael Harrison laugh.
Yeah,
it's the last thing you hear before the axe goes through your face. Like, that's that Michael Harrison laugh.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that intense, huh?
Yeah, it was, yeah, because he was working stuff out on stage, at the O'Brien's show, and, like...
But he acknowledges it's a weird laugh.
Yeah, it was great, because he was messing with people, but then it sounded like he was messing with them by the way he was laughing. It sounded like he was being patronizing by his own laugh. He's like, you guys are great. Ah!
You couldn't tell if they're being great.
Yeah, because then they just all got confused and started looking at each other. It's like, no, this is my real laugh.
Like, should we not be laughing?
Yeah. He's like, is he okay?
I don't want to hurt the comic's feelings by laughing.
He's like, that's all we want, you vultures.
So, yeah. This is episode 25. Mm-hmm. Are you guys, happy with how things are going with the podcast and with comedy?
I'm pretty sure this is the last one.
Yeah.
Packing it.
It was like, we got Rippy, that's all we need.
Yeah. There we go.
Well... do you want to tell everybody who we almost got, Steven? Fell through?
Almost got. Yeah. Well, I got his number still.
Right. So. Who'd you almost get?
Joe List.
Oh, how'd you almost get his number? Tell me the story.
Well, he got out of this closet before we started.
He's small, but
he's the mics on. That's what happened. No.
He's small, but he's scrappy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Just comes at you with those eyebrows and that five head.
Yeah.
I talked to him after the show and I was like, yeah, we'll pay you. And he's like, oh, no need, whatever. And like, I was like, cool. So Sunday we'll do it. And like, he was like, well, maybe we can do it here at the club. And I'm like, well, if you're going to the game, we can just do it after the game. Like, cause St. Pete, you know, where I live is like on the way to Tampa. Yeah. The Rays game. But, like, it's going to be getting out so late that he just has to go to the club, so.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
So I blame the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. Hopefully it gets flooded. Like, the dome just opens up and rains everywhere. Mm-hmm. Then he has nowhere else to go. The How to Die Alone podcast.
Yeah, imagine that being a contingency plan. He was like, well, all else fails.
Yo, we can call in a bomb threat.
Get T.J. Miller to do it.
Yeah, where's exactly. T.J.? All right, Steven, you looking for some karma, Zach?
Yeah, I'll do a good deed for you guys, but a bad deed for the rest of the 500 people that are there.
Yeah.
Steven, did you tell him that we had donuts?
No.
I feel like that would seal the deal.
I would have got Chipotle for him, for sure.
Yeah, Chipotle, give him a gift card.
Yeah.
Dang, that's cool that he was kind of sounding like he maybe would have.
It is crazy to like just have contact with. Like, you know, like real comics, like,
yeah.
people way better than me.
Yeah.
Like you guys.
like having, it is true.
Yeah. No. But like having Joe and like, you know, we met Theo and Theo was super cool.
Theo Vaughn.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about some headliners that they're still like, they still want to go out and engage and talk to other comedians and hang out. I feel like
they respect the struggle. Like when I told Nick DiPaolo I was also trying to do comedy, he was like, oh, cool. And like wanted to talk to me. But like he was hiding from all the fucking civilians.
Right.
I'm sure he didn't want them to be like, well, that joke about that bothered me. Or like,
yeah.
Or like, you should do this in your act. You know, the thing you get after every show.
Ooh, here's the best one. I got a story for you. All
right, you can use this.
Yeah. Oh. I was like, may I?
I'm not going to use that. I'm going to use this. This conversation.
Take notes intensely and just be like, what, then what happened? And, just like, and then as they're like, really going to use that? You just crumble it up and throw it. As you stare at them, never break eye contact. Yeah. And just throw it in the trash. Yeah. And then light it on fire.
Yeah. I'd probably just draw a penis and then turn around and be like, this is your story.
And I'm sticking to it.
Yep.
Yeah, he is. Dick after dick.
Then Matt crumbles it up and shoves the dick paper in their mouth.
I was just doing the guest spot.
Yeah, that is weird when you do a guest spot and people want to be like, you did great. I'm like, okay.
No, that's the best part. That I always hang out afterwards, shake hands and shit.
Oh, I do too, but like it's weird because it's like you saw me for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but that's the thing is like we're not getting paid, so like that's how I feel like I get paid is when I stand there and I have them stroke my ego. That's bad karma probably, but I don't care. But see, I'm justifying it by I didn't get paid to do this.
Davey likes being
excited. I entertained you fucking David's, mongrels. So
he stands in front of the headliner table.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm like, dude, you don't want to buy that shit. Let me tell you something. Come over here.
You will only get merch through me.
Yeah. I can get you 2-for-1.
That's what I want to see. David strong arm and merch on the crowds.
Bringing merch for guest sets? Fuck yeah, dude. I'll do that shit.
I forget if we talked about it on here. I've seen people bring merch for open mics. It's just like, stop.
That's worse than a guest set. At least a guest set's an actual show.
Well, yeah,
this is like any idiot can come off the street and sign up and do an open mic.
Yeah.
There's a... God, what was this?
The real idiots are the people who buy anything from people who are selling merch at open mics.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, like, I try to buy merch if it's at, Snaffers or Improv or anything else like that for, like... for the comics, but
I feel like
if somebody was peddling something to me at an open mic, man.
I feel like if you buy merch from someone at an open mic, you should get a handicap placard for your car.
That should be a merch.
Yeah, then you get arrested. Yeah.
It's like, dude, you only eat food for texture, dum-dum. Just go. Take your CD and your handicap placard.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my goals is to, you said it in there, yeah.
Goals.
One of my goals is to sell merch at an open mic now.
Yeah, so before we started, we were going over ideas for the topic.
David's going to sell titty tassels.
How about chest lube?
It looked like the handlebar things on a girl's bike, though. Yeah. Like pink and tassel-y. You know what I'm talking
about? Bunch of glitter and shit.
Yeah.
We're talking about goals. This podcast. So hopefully we can get some.
Steven?
Well,
Steven?
What?
You got some goals?
Yeah, they just sail by. I don't know. I had a goal that I would be hosting by 6 months, and that was 4 months ago, so
ooh.
Nailing it.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
That's a really hard one.
Well, you're hosting.
Yeah, my own...
Your own shows?
Yeah, that's not...
That's something.
No, I don't think so.
No. No, he just trounced your goal is what happened.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, like, hosting should be earned, not... What's it, bought? I don't know, bought or...
Well, you're getting paid to host.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's not, I don't know. I just feel like when you're in a club, like, I just want to be in a club. Like,
I'm the same way. Like, the whole club thing is so much better. Like, bars are good sometimes.
Yeah, like some shows are great, but also
there's a huge risk.
Yeah, and people don't know a fucking show's going on most of the time. So when you're hosting, you're like, who the fuck is this asshole with a microphone while I'm drinking a beer with talking to my friends, you know? Yeah.
Right.
So hosting isn't, like, great at all every time I've done it. Like, I honestly don't like it at all. But I know right. I need to get good at it if I want to be in front of a club, you know?
Right.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I want to get the hosting started as soon as possible so I can be done with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why I do it.
It feels like a necessary evil to have that tool in your belt to go up to a crowd that either, A, doesn't know that comedy's going on, B, that they're ready, but they haven't heard any, like, you're priming the pump, or C, like, doing all of it, and just, like, mine is, like, stage comfort. And I think, like, that's the way to just bash stage comfort onto you, is just having to go up to those cold crowds that are just seething with indifference.
Yeah, because then when, it's true, because then when I'm in front of an actual crowd, like, I feel so much different than I used to feel. Like, I feel like I appreciate it more, so I'm also, like, more with it and more there in the moment.
Yeah.
So, like, and also I try harder because there's actually people listening this time, so it's just, like...
It's a lot easier, too. When you do, like, an actual club.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Like, clubs, you just lay ups the whole
time. Yeah, it's like, dude, I've got, like, laughs at shit. I'm like, I didn't even know you could laugh at that part of the joke. And I'm like,
You're not ready for it. You're like, wait, this isn't the funny part.
You're getting laughs on the set.
I just roll with it, though.
Oh, yeah. It is completely transparent when something happens.
I'm like, you're all listening? What? What's happening? There's no football game on the TV.
Yeah.
No one's shooting pool in the back.
Yeah, there's not a...
No one's bitching that someone cut off the jukebox in the middle of their jam.
You're not having to listen to someone shake drinks the whole set.
For real, that's the worst. I hear it every time.
Yeah. It's weird getting heckled by a margarita mix.
Yeah. Everyone's out of beer in. Like, when they're actually listening, and, you know, late at night, there's not many people there, and everyone's paying attention, and all of a sudden here, and I'm like... All right. That just derailed any thought I just had.
That's what they should do. They should invent like a mixer shaker that it's insulated.
A blender.
So it doesn't do that. So you still have the metal on the inside, but you have to insulate it so it just goes...
On the outside?
I feel like most places that aren't clubs have some sort of thing. Like when we did the Hookah Lounge, it's just like getting heckled by bubbling.
Oh, yeah.
There was a rhythm to it. If you do Oasis Lounge or any hookah bar, it's kind of like
anyone laugh when they're smoking?
Well, it's really funny. Watch it's kind of like when you're at a comedy club when somebody tells a joke, you laugh, and then they'll take a sip of their drink, but it's that but with hookah.
Yeah.
So they'll laugh, and then you'll hear.
Bubblers, yeah.
Just like a sea of like that gurgling.
Yeah. Sounding creamy.
Yeah.
Mm.
I said, like, I heckled by, like, Aquaman farts or something like that. It just sounded like people farting in the water.
That's a good impression of
that's horrible.
Well, and like, that was an interesting room for me because, like, you were there the whole time, right, David?
Yeah, I stayed all night.
Yeah, like, people were heckling the other comics with my jokes, which was bizarre. Like,
is that karma?
Instant.
Well, yeah, like, they would be talking about, like, one thing, and someone from the crowd would just, like, call out my punchline during another guy's joke. And some dude did that at Made in Italy when we were there
the Batman thing?
Yeah, to Ricky.
Batman!
They're like, he's got a Batman joke, and, like, Ricky's like, yeah, I know. I got one, too. Like, listen to mine.
That's great.
I could see him doing it. That's funny.
And then he did mine.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. God damn it, Ricky.
Ricky's the man.
Mm-hmm.
What's your comedy goal, Zach?
Or goals in general?
Yeah, goals in general.
You have a weight loss goal?
Yeah, I keep having that, and then I keep, like...
It's nice you
pushing it back.
Yeah, you ask that unprovoked. Like, so Zach, the weight. But you can do so well.
Like, I weigh myself on the carpet to feel better.
One hand on the toilet.
Right. No, so my goals were, I'm moving next month to Texas, so my goal there is to just kind of, like, start over, like, how I did here. But now I'll actually have material, which is cool, and stage presence and, yeah. you know, stuff like that. And just make better connections at first. Like here, when I first started, I'm kind of introverted in general. Mm-hmm. And then so...
Which is weird considering your job.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good at faking it. So, but, you know, and then...
That's what a lot of comedians do.
Yeah, and so, I don't know. I'm one of those people that, like, I like to hang out, but I also like to hang out and talk about comedy. And it's like, there's 10 minutes straight of it not being about comedy. I'm like, all right, I'm not really learning anything from this, so I'm going to go. Yeah. And then I just really take it serious, and I just really want this as my job, you know? So my goal up there is to just, like, get plugged in and then show, like, prove myself and then... get opportunities as being like the guy that's from out of town, kind of like how JJ Curry has like an advantage because he's from out of town, so people right. think he's like, you know, he's great, but like people like kind of see him as a higher level just because he's out of town. Like he has another layer because like he's not like from here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nobody knows his stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's kind of like a refreshing kind of thing for people, and I feel like I kind of want to be that when I get there. It's kind of just you know, really make some strides and just get better, and then hopefully, like, get on some... There's so many clubs out there. I want to, like, get on some clubs and not be seen as an open micer when I go out there, right. you know?
Yeah, well, it's like that when anyone starts. They always say you'll never get respect in the town you start in.
Yeah, and because... And that's
they'll
how
shit on you. Like, even clubs. Like, you go to your home club,
yep.
it's like they'll still see you as an open micer.
And that's exactly how I feel. Like, I love Side Splitters to death, but I still think... Like, BT see me at my, like... see me do good, he see me do horrible, he see me do in the middle. I'm just inconsistent in his eyes. Mm. So if I go somewhere else and just be more consistent, I feel like I'll get more opportunities, you know?
Yeah, because you're not from there. You didn't start there.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So you're going to get a lot of animosity, though, from local comics, for sure.
Yeah, which, I mean, if you're, I just feel like if you're a genuine dude, like, you know,
people are always going to shit on you. Yeah. You just got to be like, fuck them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you got to choose, like, who you become buddies with and whatnot, like, effectively.
Because ultimately, we are competing, but we're competing in the way it's like golf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
we're all on the tour.
Yeah.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so.
But it sucks because, like, if you come in, like, fourth in golf, you're making a shit ton of money. But if you come in fourth in comedy, you're not on the show. Fuck.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's only three spots.
Yeah, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, sucks. Right.
And we've already got two white dudes, so
yeah. Right. Yeah.
We got to get a clam up there. So, just calling it like it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I had the opposite problem starting. Like, I feel like I got very lucky at the beginning.
Yeah, you were really likable right away by everybody.
But yeah, which that faded quick, which was good. Because, like, I feel like there's expectations at the beginning. They're like, oh, he knows what he's doing. And then, like, a month in, they're like, no, he doesn't. So, like, that really made it a lot easier. But, like, at the beginning, I was like, fuck, I got to be, like, on top of it.
Yeah, the expectations is your own expectations ruin reality too. So like I expected to like, you know, make a lot more strides than I did, and then I had to just kind of like create my own like shows just to get on shows. Mm-hmm. And then so and I wanted to give other people opportunities to be on shows too. You know what I mean? So that like deserved it and work hard and stuff like that, and just like even just giving somebody a shot, even if I don't know them, I'm like, yeah, sure, why not?
Did you see that shit show in the Orlando page?
Yeah.
About the guy being like, it's just showcases or just open mics, basically.
Yeah.
Glorified open mics.
Mm-hmm. And, like, he was like, oh, well, all the same people get booked. It's like, well, there's only a certain amount of people in any scene that are actually working. Like, are actually trying to get good. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's, like, 70 people in any given scene, like, any scene like 70? Our size. Yeah. Like, trying a little bit. Okay. Like, I'm just saying anybody that's occasionally out at a mic, like, they dabble in and out, you know what I mean? Like,
I dabble.
Yeah, but, like, of that 70, maybe 10 to 15 are actually legitimately out every fucking night or, like, 3 to 4 right. times a week.
Right.
And, like, just putting in the work and not doing the same 5 for a year and a half. And like,
right. Yeah.
Well, they used to do that at, back at the Improv. Before they did the random shit, before Jeff was running it, you'd have to like line up at like 8 o'clock, and they didn't do signups till 9:30. But they went in order, so people started getting there on like 8:15. So if you got there at like 9, you'd be like 20th on the list.
Right.
So people would like, you know, you'd have to wait in line. But they had on the sheet, they had like a working comics like thing.
Yeah.
Like so I just list, always basically. Signed up for the working comic. I'm like, I'm not fucking waiting in line with these peasants. Not always. It depends on who the host was. If I knew the host, like if Jorge was hosting, I'm like, or like Rafig or something, I'm like, yeah, I'm not waiting in line. I'm going to be outside just chilling. And then I would just sign up under the working comics, even though I'm not a working comic.
I will say, like,
because you get people that would. Oh, I was so sorry.
Well, yeah, no, this is like the thing. Like, we're probably going to just basically talk about the same thing. Like, there are so many people who come out and like they're like, well, I'm just going to throw out like all my rape jokes and stuff, and just like stuff that I can never work in any club ever, mm-hmm. and like. Just,
yeah, you do it for comics. They get in the back of the room laugh.
Just eat up the spots.
Yeah.
And it's like, you realize you have to go through the host phase. Like, yeah. That's something, like, more people kind of need to accept. And, like, they're just like, no, I'm just going to do, like, the most shocking, vulgar, insane shit.
I started like that. Like, I just did stuff for comics trying to make them laugh. And then I'm like, well, you know what? Fuck those guys.
Well, yeah, because what's the audience it going to get you?
Exactly. And it took me a while to realize that. So.
Yeah. And once you do, I feel like, doors open and you like your eyes become, you know, more clear as far as what you need to be doing and what material you need to gauge towards and do in front of people.
Right. It feels like that you're I feel like the way I write jokes now is like, all right, 3 for them, 1 for me, 4 for them, 1 for me. So that like I could still, so I'm not like completely pandering to get booked, you know. Yeah. Because it's like, you know, we're all based on, do we make the audience laugh? Like, you can, like, the comics can love you all day, all night, but if you're not making the audiences laugh and you're just making them go, ugh,
yeah, and or anything like that. People pay attention. Like, sometimes people, we don't realize that people are paying attention at every mic, every show.
Yeah.
You know, like, comedians that book shows and stuff like that.
Well, that's the thing, too, is you can't alienate other comics because comics are the ones giving you work in the beginning.
Exactly, yeah.
So, like,
pretty much all comedians.
Anytime people say, well, I'm just doing it for the crowd, I'm like, well, where do you expect to work, like, for the first year or two?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think that was one of the things about the scenes as well, is that, like, we work really, really on, like, word of mouth and, like, face. It's like,
well, yeah.
I haven't seen your face around. I'm not going to book this guy over, you know, over this other guy. And if they see you, like, you know, the guys that host the mics or, like, book the showcases that are, like, other comics, and they see you going to open mics and they see you, like, progressing and doing new shit, writing better stuff, and then, like, being better on stage, then, yeah, they're more inclined to be like, yeah, put them up. Over, you know, somebody that rarely comes out.
I've only seen you once this month, so let me go ahead and put you on a showcase.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's a weird balance, but I think, like, finding that is, like, the key at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think I've been pretty lucky again with that.
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
You mean balancing as far as networking and performing?
Balancing playing to the crowd and playing to the comics. And what I mean by playing to the comics is not doing the same fucking 5 week after week after week after week after week and being like, why am I not getting booked? It's like, because you're doing the same 5 the same way. Yeah. You're not changing.
Nobody
word.
Thinks it's funny anymore.
Right. You can, like.
Well, it didn't work the first time.
Yeah, you can work on the 5. Like, you can have the same jokes, but you can, like, switch around the order, switch up, like, different tags and whatever. You can be working that stupid goddamn 5 that, like, that you can develop into a killer 5, mm-hmm. but you have to actively work on it, not just rotely go up and do it.
Yeah, like, not rehearsed. The moment, you know?
Right, yeah. Because, that's one of my biggest downfalls is that, like, if I'm doing a prepared set, it sounds like a prepared set.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to sound like that. So sometimes the best thing to do is just run it a bunch of times, but you have to find the way that it runs best.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the audience needs to believe that it's you and that you're not like an animatronic.
You're not performing.
Right, yeah.
Otherwise, they're just like, what the fuck is this?
That's what I was saying.
He's going to do the same set whether we're here or not.
A lot of comics fake it. You know, not fake it, but like, they'll be like introvert on stage, and then they get on stage and they're like, hey! And it's like, don't, that's not you. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, well,
that's what they like. It's like they're laughing more at the fact that you're being a fucking goofball than they are your jokes.
That's the thing. If you go into like a super down energy room and you go like crazy high energy fast delivery, like it doesn't work even if you're doing the same material that kills in a high energy room.
Yeah.
And like people need to like figure that out. And like that's probably one of the most difficult things is like reading the energy of the room.
Yeah.
Which I think is where, Zach, you've had an advantage probably because of, like, your actual life, like, what you do for a job. Can we say what you do for your job?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it's fine.
You serve, right?
Yeah, I serve tables in Tampa in the Hyde Park area. So it's like you're dealing with all types of people, like tourists, city, like workers that come in, not like city, like people that work in downtown. They come in for lunch and they come out and party, like for margaritas and stuff. It's like a really popping spot in Tampa. Yeah. And so you just deal with all kinds of people, and you have to, like, you know, my job is like there's a food runner, there's a drink runner, there's a busser, and then all your job is to talk to them and tell them how we work, and then put their order in and sell them drinks. So you're basically like selling stuff the whole day. Right. So basically you have to get them on your side, you have to get them to like you. And I served at Outback and bartender for like 4 years before that too. So you just kind of have to talk to people. That's how you get your money, you know. You know, if you just give them service, they're like, "Oh, this guy was boring. You're not memorable."
But and then I think that's why you and Bobby Katie do so well, is that's your background, because like you both know what's going on in the room because you're in like your 40-hour a week plus job.
Yeah,
like you know, the only way you eat is if you know how they're feeling.
Exactly. Yeah, you know how to run it, because some people want you to like, I don't know. It's I don't know about that part, but like when you're serving tables, I did it for like a week, and I was like, no. but it was like where I'm like, okay, this table wants me to come by every fucking minute. And
yeah, another table,
they're like, leave us the fuck alone, just refill our drinks, don't talk to us. You know what I mean? So right. I was good at figuring that shit out.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, no, I don't want to run food to people.
and that's why I feel like when you were saying that...
Did people keep thinking you were like pitching off the plate, like
just... Yeah, I mean, I wasn't as big as I am now, but still, I still felt awkward. You know, they'd rather have some little mousy high school girl run over there instead of some big hairy guy.
Can you verify how many fries you're supposed to come with?
Nah, that's the rest.
Why is only half the cheese on top of the fries? It slid off. I don't know what to tell you.
No, dead ass. People do that. Like at Outback, we used to like if a food like. The expo guy will be putting up the plates, and a server would just walk by and take fry off people's plate. Like, no big deal. Like, totally fucking terrible, you know? And, but I think when you were saying about the introvert thing, like, I'm introverted as far as, like, you know, because I have to deal with people all day that I'm just like, at that point, I'm like, yo, like, at the end of the night, I'm just kind of like, yo, it's like hard to talk to people. But, like, when I get on stage, it's totally different feeling. Totally different feeling. Stage is, like, the best feeling to me. The best, like, it's the most fun I'm having all day. So it's like, when I'm up there, I am kind of a little bit more like goofy and a little more like bubbly and smiley and happy to be up there and performing. So, but I'm not like, I don't think I'm over the top like you were saying, but
No.
It's a good feeling when you're introverted to be able to express that, you know, like come out of your shell a little bit on stage.
Because
but
I mean, if that's how you normally are, like with your kid and, you know, and your family, then that's how you should be on stage.
Exactly.
Like,
Well, the stage
some people are polar opposites.
So the stage is what you want to do, and like serving is like what you have to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So like,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good though, man. And I feel like you guys believe in who believes in God and who doesn't in here.
I'm agnostic, so I'm like,
maybe. Okay, anyway.
I believe there's a higher power. I don't think it's just some bearded guy with a robe on.
Yeah, well, that's what people painted the pictures to you to be. Like, you know, that's not what you, like you feel. So you believe a higher power, so that's kind of like
yeah, but I feel like it could be like aliens and shit. Yeah. Or not aliens, but like a different race besides humans.
Well, definitely. Yeah. I personally don't think God is human either. I believe he sent Jesus in human form. But anyway, off that. I just believe like God sets you up like in life to like do what you're supposed to be doing. So like he set me up to be serving, even though I hated it. I was like, yo, I want to go to I went to college and stuff and to be a police officer, and then that fell through because of what I did in high school. Like they undetected crimes, like kind of like they blackballed me for it, so I couldn't do that. And then so I got like all down, like, oh, the thing I want to do in life isn't happening. And then I got married, which was cool. And then I was like, yo, I've always loved stand-up. And then, like, me serving and bartending for all those years kind of met, like, with stand-up kind of a little bit and was able for me to be like, oh, just kind of treat people like a table and try to, like, but with words and jokes and try to, like, have that happen and then just kind of blend it together. And then, like, all your, like, shitty life experience kind of blends into, like, what you do on stage and, like, the stories that you have with relationships with people in your life kind of all come together on stage as well. So, like, God kind of, like, I feel like it's setting me up, like set me up in life to get to this point. And I was kind of down on myself. I was like, yo, I'm starting this stand-up thing so late, 24. Like, I feel like that was kind of late to start. I know, it's weird. But like, that's how I personally felt. Cause I felt like, yo, like it might take 10 years to get good. What if like I never make it and I can't provide for my family and I have to serve forever, you know, serve tables forever. And then, so it just kind of made me realize like, yo, I wouldn't be able to write the material that I'm writing at 20. If I started at 20, I wouldn't be able to relate with the crowd if I was writing this at 20, a single guy, whatnot. But now I can relate to the crowd being married with a kid at 19 and just being able to realize that I'm more mature now, so I can maybe possibly do this. But if I started at 20 and was just a single dude, I might have given up. You know what I mean? And never picked up the microphone again. Does that make sense?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Because you can, it goes with the, that same thing kind of happened with me. If the way life went the way it was supposed to be, mm-hmm. I'd be finishing my residency.
You'd be a doctor.
Yeah. I'd be a physician, but I'd hate my life.
Paging Dr. Williams.
Yeah. Wait, that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I spent nearly 10 years pursuing a medical degree.
What happened?
It didn't happen. I was in the Caribbean, and the way that it worked for that particular school, they didn't have federal financial loans, and so I was having to do an online master's to take care of my tuition, but that didn't take care of room and board. Mm. And so my parents were helping me out, and any time I tried to get a loan, since it was an international school, they wouldn't give me any money for it. And then that's when predatory loans started coming in that I didn't take, but those were the only loans I would have been able to take, which would have made it impossible to pay any of that shit back. Because the federal loans, I think you're at 2, maybe 3%, which is kind of high. Or is that low or high for you?
Mine are 6.5.
Okay. They were giving me 18,
20%
for
the credit card.
It's like a credit card.
Yeah, exactly. That was.
You'll never pay that off.
Right, exactly. Doctor. Yeah.
I'll never pay mine off.
Yeah. That's the goal. And so that was, it came to the point where I was it was draining my parents, draining me, and it was awful. It was god awful. It almost killed me. And so it just came to a point where I was I'm not meant to do this. I came back, studied. Took the MCAT again, did okay, didn't get into any schools, and then there it comes to the point where you go, all right.
What now?
Well, yeah. What now? And that was the thing that sucks about it is that when you go through all of that, you don't get any certification. I probably know or knew as much as, let's say, an LPN, a licensed practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know more than LPN, probably closer to
probably,
an
RN. Yeah, RN.
Yeah. So, you don't have a. You don't have. You a look piece like of a paper.
Nurse, man.
Yeah.
You could be a nurse.
You don't have a piece of paper that says you know this much, so you can go do this.
Yeah,
and that's what I got stuck with. So
yeah, I got the piece of paper.
And you spent all shit. That year, those years in school, and yeah. Doing. Oh my god, bro, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
you need to use that as a kind of a.
It's one of those. That's one of the comedy things where it's I'm starting to open up more. About more doors. Comedy, but I don't know how to make it funny.
Yeah.
actually Bobby just said something that I was trying to develop where he's even a dream is a nightmare, and you're pretty much you're
yeah.
The dream that you always wanted turns out it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, me and him were chopping it up at after our show on Tuesday at Iberian, and we went and had a beer and some food, and we were talking about serving and stuff like that, and then he said that, and I was bro, I laughed so hard when he said that. And I was yo, that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Have you used that? Have you said that?
On stage? He won at Snappers with that.
Yeah, I know. And he texted me, because he texted me the next day. He's like, hey, what were we laughing about that you said I should use? And then we couldn't remember. We're going back and forth what was it? Then I texted him. I was like, yo, this is it. I remember it. And then he texted me the next day. He's like, dude. Thank you.
Totally worked.
It's it totally worked. Yeah. It crushed. I was dude, I can't wait to see it live. And it was just so cool because one of those moments I've always wanted to have with somebody when I was dude, you should use that as a comedian to another comedian. Yeah. And it works. It was the first time. It was awesome. So I'm happy he did that.
Oh, yeah. And how old were you started, you said?
24.
Yeah, Bill Burr started at 24. So keep that in mind.
Oh, that's my favorite dude, bro. Yeah. That's awesome.
He was fucking working at a warehouse.
Yeah.
Unloading boxes. And he's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Who started at 32? Do I have any hope?
That was at Dangerfield 45, but he started before that. Alonzo Bowden started at age 30.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
And anybody can make it as long as you just believe in yourself. I feel like that's the difference between some people is just if you don't believe in yourself, it's going to be even harder to make it because everybody else already probably doesn't believe in you. You know what I mean? But I think, if you believe in yourself, and you work
as long
hard
as
for it,
you don't blindly believe in
yourself. Yeah, and I'm not saying,
without being able to there's that blind confidence where you're I rock this shit. They no kill matter every
set. Yeah. But that's not what I mean.
No. You didn't kill at all.
That's not what I mean. No, I mean,
that was just me adding on to it, going like, I know what you mean, but I have to say.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's an exaggeration. You
qualify it. Right. Asterisk.
Yeah.
And there's some days I don't believe in myself. I'm like, bro, like, should I just go get a 9-to-5? But then I'm like, no, because then I'll be miserable for 20 years. But if I'd rather chase a dream for 20 years than be miserable for 20 years. You know what I mean?
That was the biggest thing that, because, like, I also don't want to be a preachy comic, because, like, I could turn that medical thing into a preachy thing, because, like doing what I'm supposed to do, but the thing I can always tell everybody is that I pursued my dream to be a physician and to go after it. And I went after it with all I had, and it still didn't work. And I know what it's like to fall flat on your fucking face and pretty much start your life over. And, hey, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, the sun still came up, the birds still chirped, and now I get to do a podcast and comedy with a bunch of awesome people. So that's I have a really happy life, despite, you know, not making it into my quote-unquote dream.
Well, and like the doctor thing probably seems like a much more high-stress job than the one you currently have.
Way, way higher. Yeah, like, that was one thing I found out, too, was that, like, I can't do it. There's some people that can do it. Well, yeah. I was like, there's something about me and stress that, like, I have a hard time managing it, and it was just a pressure cooker.
I can't imagine you getting to a point where you're comfortable with people dying like that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, as a doctor, be like, well, sometimes you're just gonna die.
Yeah. Yeah. That like,
was it your dream or was it your parents' dream?
It was mine, and that was,
the hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but that was one of the things was when you say supposed to, that's what I felt like I was supposed to do. But I felt like that's what my parents thought I was supposed to do as well. And so I had these expectations that I was making up and putting pressure on myself that I was making up and putting that onto myself and making me feel like shit when I was fucking, like, eating it.
Yeah.
So, you mean like you were making up expectations for your parents even though they didn't have those?
Right. No, yeah. They were supportive of me and they're like, yeah, good job. But they never, like, pushed me into medicine, like, you know, that's like awesome, a lot that of they people didn't do. So, oh, yeah.
Mine pushed me into school. And
They wanted, they're
like, you have to go to college.
Yeah, and that worked out great.
Yeah.
You have a good job, right?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually. Like, you eventually got it?
Well, what he went to school for, he could have not gone to school and still do what he does.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Hey, me too.
Hashtag me too.
I know a lot of people. That's why I didn't do it, because
I got my bachelor's. I grew up
playing darts, so a lot of people, real quick, Steve, sorry. I grew up playing darts, so a lot of older people.
Gonna cut his mic.
Yeah. A lot of older people went to college, and then they would tell me that they don't use their degrees. They're I went to school for, you know, economics. I had another buddy who went to school for, he was, what are they called? I don't know. When they do your taxes.
CPA?
An accountant?
An accountant, yeah. He went to all that shit, and then now he sells washing machines.
Oh, Jesus.
So, but he sells them to, like, apartment complexes and shit.
That's
like,
not any higher up.
Yeah, but he enjoys doing it. You mean it's not much lower than before, yeah. But it's like, yeah.
Because I sell so many washing machines.
Yeah, he's like, I don't even use my
degree. It's not just the regular people. Yeah. It's apartment complexes. Yeah. I don't want you to think I'm a piece of shit. Yeah.
I sell these things to stackable people.
Mine are coin operated.
Yeah, that's what they are. And that's what I mean. You would sell it like commercial to the... Yeah. But most of those complexes, those apartments that have a laundry room, are usually not the best apartment complexes.
No, if you don't.
So he's dealing with like some crazy fucking people all the time.
They don't know what they're doing at all.
Yeah. I'm sure as he's installing them, there's just some guy like rubbing his lips. He's like, so can I get in there when the load is going?
He doesn't install them, he sells them.
It was like, it's like if I see some bras rolling around. So, yeah, sir, I'm just installing the machines.
Do these things lock?
So, David, what did you want to do?
Well, I have no idea what I wanted to do, man. Yeah. Actually, I wanted to play darts. I knew that.
Yeah. You were really good, right? You were on TV for it?
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to. Yeah.
He was on TV.
I'm going to be a professional dart player. So I'm like, I don't need school. And then I just worked a bunch of jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I worked at UPS, which, like, was, you know, everyone's like, that's a great job. I was, like, 18 out of high school. I didn't know shit. And I quit because I'm dumb. But, you know, because, you know, they'd be, you know, the drivers make, like, 70 grand a year just to drop all fucking brown boxes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is really good. Yeah, and you have the union, and you have good health insurance. And
you have cool socks.
Yeah, uniforms. Uniforms are good.
Yeah, you got legs for days.
You do some role playing with some hot housewives, you know,
some compression socks.
Knock, knock.
Yeah. I wasn't this big back then. I was looking good.
Where would you like me to deliver this package?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you do now?
I work for the government. We'll just say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
They're listening.
Yeah, no. It's just, yeah, so and even this, I'm like, I never looked at it as a career. You know what I mean? But every job I had, I was like, oh, it's just a job.
Yeah.
So then I started doing comedy. I'm like, yeah, this seems.
Yeah.
Seems better. I want to do this. Like, I always said I was a comic my whole life. I just didn't realize it until I was 30.
So you're how many years deep?
July will be 3 years.
3 years?
So okay. I'll be 33 this year. So I started when I was 30.
I think the best same part here about comedy, there's no HR department.
No,
I think
that's what really I'm saying. Yeah, your own boss.
Except the internet.
Yeah. Well, the internet's your fucking mom.
Social justice jihadis.
Do you see what he said?
Yeah. Out of context.
Yeah.
Out of context.
Not to me.
Yeah, well, it's like the Mulaney thing. Like, no joke sounds good in court.
Yeah. You ever read a transcript of jokes? No one's going to laugh at that. Yeah.
Did you find this funny, Mr. Mulaney?
By the time.
So out of his three on Netflix, which one do you guys think is the best one?
What?
John Mulaney's three specials.
Oh, I think New in Town.
New in Town?
No, I don't like that one.
What's the one where he talks about his his wife being the cow?
Oh, okay. That's the comeback kid.
I like that one.
Yeah. That's a great bit. But is New in Town the one where he shreds fucking the
Back to the Future?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, don't like it. Back to the Future is the greatest trilogy ever made. I stand by that. Oh, Dad, nah, God damn it.
So
you can take your Godfather and shove it up your ass.
So I graduated in 08
the
first time. That's when I got my bachelor's. And when I got out of school, the first job I was able to get, I was working at Circuit City.
Nice.
Does that even exist anymore?
No.
Yeah.
You're welcome, America.
Yeah. I had a goal when I got there, and I achieved that goddamn goal. They closed their doors.
Did you go back to school?
Well, yeah, that's the fun part of the story. I got a call.
Well, you're the second economics person I know that worked at Circuit City.
Yeah. It's a good place for us, apparently. Yeah.
No, he said when it was closing, like the employees like took just about everything. Before they had all the sales come out for the clearance. Yeah, they had like all the TVs, all the top computers and stuff like that. They just took all of that shit before they like let the customers have a piece of it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's how kind of it worked.
Yeah.
So I actually I applied to go back for my grad school courses. And I got a call during my shift at Circuit City, and the professor who was in charge was basically like saying, hey, you can come and you can have a job as a graduate teaching assistant, and we'll pay you. And I was like, so I already have it? And he was like, yeah. And so I just, like, I hung up, like, my smock or whatever and just walked out. I didn't even clock out. I just left.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, fuck this place.
Yeah.
And then
I'm going to Best Buy. No.
I'm going to school.
Yeah.
And then when I got out of school the second time in 2010, then the only job I could get was writing surveys about TV shows at Nielsen.
That doesn't sound bad.
It was horrible.
You had to watch like so many different shows, didn't you?
Yeah, you have to watch all the garbage shows.
Oh, that's it. And then make a survey.
You have to watch like American Loggers and Real Housewives and all that shit, and then come up with questions about it. And then the entire thing is you're trying to figure out where they talk about or show products. So, like, you know, like if they mention a Rolex.
Oh, my God. Really?
You have to, like, count how many times they mention Rolex. And it just ruins TV for you forever.
Yeah. It sounds like it ruins your day.
Yeah. Because you get to the point where you're watching TV and you just like hear Coke, Pepsi, Jack Daniels, and like you just hear it all the time.
Right, like Bic Pens.
Yeah,
like how we used to start with Bic Pens and
G-tubes.
Yeah, G-tubes.
Let's get some Pilot G-tubes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we haven't made a plug for those in a while.
Yeah.
We'll never make it.
But yeah, the and both of those jobs, I'm pretty sure I could have done Circuit City without a bachelor's.
Right. And where are you at now?
I hope so.
I'm at a food and beverage manufacturer doing data analysis.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The data.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
You just crunch numbers all
day,
huh?
Do you no. feel? Do you feel like you like do you guys as people feel like you make your own opportunities and like let's say you're at your data job and you hate it, like. Do you really, like, look for other jobs that are better? Or do you just, like, kind of, like, accept it and be like, oh, I'm going to do comedy, and then eventually my lane will open?
No. The thing about my job, I can't speak for them, obviously. I mean, I could.
You could.
I shouldn't.
Yeah. We'll go around. Stephen
with,
first.
With my job, the main thing is it gives me the latitude to do what I need to do. Like, I have a good amount of time off, and, like, I can work the schedule I want to work. And so, like...
Flexibility.
The flexibility is basically what keeps me there because, like, I need the flexibility to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, if I didn't have that, I would definitely look for other stuff.
Matt?
Yeah, no, I need a new job. Yeah. Definitely. The good thing it is flexible. I can work from 10 to 6, but I have no PTO and, like,
benefits.
Minimal benefits, if at all.
Yeah.
And
just try, like, USA.
But that's... But I found, like, to get to that next point, I know I have the material to go on the road and, let's say, do a feature spot for somebody. I need to have the, like, right now I'm just treading water for as far as, like, money goes, and I need to bump stack that up. So I can travel around it because I'm just putting miles on my car right now. I'm developing jokes and bits and everything like that, which is good. But I know I'm at this point where I need to get up to Orlando. I need to get down to, like, or I need to get to Daytona, Jacksonville, like, stuff like that. So
Fort Myers and stuff.
Yeah, and Sitch. So it's just, that's like the necessary evil. Is like, I still have that necessary evil of that, you know, mine's not a 9 to 5, it's a 10 to 6, but I still need it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the bane of my existence, but it's the one that lets me exist.
Yeah, it's you're sacrificing for what you want to do.
Yeah,
that's, exactly. All right, that's good.
And take care of Hussy.
Hussaroo.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah, my job is just, you know, the freedoms, I guess, or not flexibility, but
freedom.
Like, well, I have insurance and all that shit, and I deal with, you know, just idiots all day, and most of the people I work with are just, you know, regular 9 to 5, like, the weekend's here, can't wait. Yeah. Oh, is it 5 o'clock yet? Like, you know,
you want it when?
Dude, just the you know, and then on Mondays, they'll be like, oh, how was your weekend? It's like, do you really care? Or are you just wanting to talk about your weekend? It's just that shit that I hate. I can't stand it most of the time.
Yeah.
But I get, like, when I'm filing, because I file paper a lot.
Yeah.
I get to put on podcasts or, like, a headset in and listen to music. So I do a lot of writing there.
Yeah.
So if something pops into my head, then I can just, like, jot it down. Absolutely. So that's kind of good. But other than that, I hate the place. So.
And one thing when we were talking about earlier as far as believing in yourself, like when Matt was just saying about, like, he's going to, like, want to be able to feature one day. Just recently, like, about, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I started thinking about that. I was like, yo, what happens if I have to go on the road one day and I'm not making the money I'm making now because I'm not at my stupid ass job, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I started thinking about that, and I started talking to my wife, and I was like, yo, what if, like, we put away, like, you know, $40 a week, $50 a week, and just stack that away, pretend like it doesn't exist, put it in a shoebox, and just pretend that, don't come to my house, and put it in a shoebox, and just pretend that, you know, like, we didn't make that money, and then just stack it up so that when that day comes, when I'm ready to go on the road, we have that extra money if I'm not making what I'm making, you know, from comedy, from what I'm making at my job now, kind of just help the family out, so I don't have to ever have an excuse. Oh, I can't go on the road because I won't be able to pay the bills for this month. So I don't want to ever have an excuse. So I think it's good if we, as comics, believe in ourselves and be able to do that as well. You know, just so prepare ourselves for that situation, whether it be $10 a week, $20 a week, something, you know?
Right, yeah. Prepare with, like, go after it, but with, like, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's what I'm really trying to do, is just go about it smart. Like, it's great to, like, dive. Like, if you can dive in and with no strings attached and shit, man. Good on you, but that's like that's way too much for my anxiety. That's good.
So. Smart, because I live check the pack to check. Life.
Yeah, yeah.
I live check to check pretty much, and I'll be at work some days, and more frequently now, I'm like, I just want to leave. and just pack my car up and with all the shit I can fit in there and just drive to New York and say, fuck it. You know what I mean? Just live in my car as long as possible till they take that shit away from me. hopefully by then I'll have a few connections where I can like, hey, let me crash at your pad a little bit. All I got's, you know, my computer and that's it or whatever.
Yeah.
But just sell that and get a laptop so I don't have to bring this desktop around with me.
Yeah, but then how are you going to play PUBG and Fortnite?
I don't care about that at this point, dude. This is all go, go, go. I'm trying to get a writing job and then do stand-up, man. Meet the connections and stuff. New York just has that fucking, that grittiness that I love, you know what I mean?
Do you guys believe that if you don't give up, you will make it kind of thing?
No.
You don't believe that?
No.
Why not?
I don't think that's realistic. I don't think it's completely up to you. Like, I think there's obviously, like, a level of luck to it. And, like, being in the right place at the right time, making the right connections.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's as simple as just, like, well, I didn't give up, so I'm going to make it. Because, like, there's a bunch of people, I'm not going to name them, who have been at this quite a long time in our scene. And, like, there's no end in sight for them.
Yeah, but they didn't put their foot forward. You know what I mean? They didn't do what they were supposed to do. Like, they didn't improve. They didn't, like, do the things they were supposed to do. So, like,
that was part of your question,
though. Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, for us, we're all, like, you know, we're all getting improving already. You know, where everybody in here I've seen improve as far as stand-up and as far as even just networking and being on more shows. But, like, if we're improving consistently, like, and not giving up, will we make it?
No, that's not always the case, no. Man. You'll hear that from, like, real comics. Well, I'd say in real, but like, you know, big name comics.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm asking.
Working comics.
Well, one of them's dead now, but Ralphie May has a thing where he's like, you're not all going to be great comics. Like, no matter how much you think, like...
Tosh had that, too.
Tosh did that thing, where he's then,
like, I'm actually really good at this.
Well, no, that was a joke. Like, yeah, Ralphie's was like him talking to, like, 1- and 2-year comics.
Well, and
at the comedy store, Ari Shaffir is one, too, and he's like... He's like, even if you got the gumption and you're like, oh, I'm going to be great. He's like, you still might not make it. Like,
and Metzger kind of talked about it,
too. That's just how the business is, dude. It sucks.
Well, it's kind of like...
Metzger was like, well, it's hard to get work because, you know, I'm a white dude. And, like, they want black. They want women. They want, like... And you can't control that.
Yeah.
Like, it's shitty in a way, I guess. And it's good in a way for them, I guess. But, like...
yeah.
What do you do about it?
It's kind of like the... Like, if you want to be a... professional athlete, it's not the exact same, but it's kind of like you have the guys that
have talent.
Yeah, there's a raw talent that, like, there's an X factor that's always going to be in there. Then, you know, you have all those, you know, you have those, what, because from, like, what, 1 to 5 star athletes.
Yeah.
And then, like, sometimes no matter what, you're only going to have 3 stars no matter how much time you put into it.
But see, there's career guys that may play in double A ball, Double A baseball their whole life, and they love it.
Right.
I'd rather do Double A comedy and love it than to work like some.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I don't mean make it famous. I mean make it like this is your job.
That's kind of what I mean. Yeah. If I could get to a point where all I'm doing is comedy,
that's what I mean by making podcasting,
and then, you know, maybe writing on a show, punching up some scripts, doing stand up on the side, you know, and then occasional TV appearance. Sure. Yeah, I'm all about that.
So I think in other words that you're asking, if do you believe that we can perform comedy in the capacity that we're searching for, personally? Yeah. Well,
there's that guy, James Gregory.
James Gregory
coined the phrase, like, funniest man in America.
Uh-huh.
Like, he, like, patented that term. Oh, and dude makes millions of dollars a year, but no one's fucking heard of him.
I don't think...
Look him up. His website's, like, funniest man in America or something.
I don't think you can really make it here.
In Florida or Tampa?
In Tampa, yeah. Because, like,
it's hard.
There's a lot of people who regularly get club work and stuff, but, like, it's not regular enough that can be their job unless, like, their girlfriend's supporting them or, like, they come from money or something. Like,
everybody has to leave to make it, is what you're saying.
It seems to be the case. Like, everybody who, like, I mean...
The heavy hitters, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, like...
Cam left.
I think Cam said he wanted to be the first one to make it from Tampa, and then he realized quickly that that's not going to happen. So he's like, I'm going to L.A.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he probably had opportunities and shit come up for him out there, too. So he's like...
Yeah, and that's where...
I want to try to make it from here, and JB was trying to, too. And
that's where, like, JB got his opportunities, is the second he left, he started getting opportunities there.
Yeah.
Like, you can headline here, but like, what does that get you? You're headlining in Florida, like,
it's
New York, LA, and to an extent Chicago, really. So like,
yeah, and the guys that do and the guys that do headline Florida, they still live here and they work day jobs.
Yeah,
you'll see them. They'll be at Snappers. They'll do coconuts. They'll do bar shows, and they're funny guys, but they just. I headline Florida, and
that's why I really like.
But feel they all work day jobs. You know what I mean? I feel maybe like not all of them, but majority of them do.
Texas is another one where I feel like it's such a big state that there's so many big cities in it that you can actually that can be your job in Texas because you can just it's like another America. You could just travel all through Texas, hit a whole bunch of clubs.
Well, the thing is, like, it's kind of what David was talking about, like with with Florida, like you only really have. The actual stand-up stuff to do. Like, if you're in New York or L.A., you write, you can be on stuff. Like, here,
punch
like,
up this movie is... scripts or whatever they want you to do.
Right. That's true.
Commercials. Yeah. You could do commercials in L.A., just be like a commercial actor, like, Bud Light, and then put it back in a cooler. Like,
and the amount...
They'll pay you, like, fucking $5,000 to do some stupid shit like that, you know?
Yeah. And the amount of spots in a place like New York or L.A. Is just... fucking ridiculous. Like, I was looking at the open mic schedules up there, and, like, there's some rooms that do 3 open mics a night. Like, so from, like, 4 to midnight, they've got 3 different shows. So, like, you can just go do that. You can go to a different spot, like, down the street, and just, like, you could do 20 or 30 spots a week there.
Yeah, I think Ray Romano said the most he did was, like, 7 or 8 one day.
Yeah.
But you're constantly going uptown, midtown. So, like, you're taking the train a lot. So you're spending a lot of money, but...
And you usually have to pay
and then you
to
have to
do
pay
the
to
show.
Get in each mic, too. So yeah, it's like...
Michael
it's
Harrison told me, he showed me on his phone, he has an app that, like, once you're into the New York City comedy scene, like, everybody at the clubs, like, the bookers will send... it's basically, like, hot schedules. Like, they'll send you out dates to pick up and time slots to pick up. So for each day, you can just claim a spot, and pick your time, basically. And then you can hit... He says he does that, like, four nights a week. And then it's 4 stages a night.
Yeah, and like Tim said, a lot of the mics, you're not even getting 5. You usually get like 3.
Yeah.
So, there's one where you can pay $1 per minute, which ain't bad.
Yeah.
$5 and you get $5.
That's what we do at Coconuts, yeah.
Pretty much.
$1 a minute.
$10. He's like some asshole coming up with $20 down. All the comments like, who the fuck put $20 down? They get all mad shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Koopa told me that. It was hilarious. He's like, the other comics are like, don't do more than 10. Like, they'll get mad or whatever.
Yeah. Like, that asshole.
He was the guy who
throwing
just...
Throwing around 20s, like...
He was the guy who just, like, put a roll of quarters on the DDR machine. It's like, I'm gonna be dancing for a while.
You motherfucker. It's funny. I don't know. I feel like, we all have, I feel like, a good head on our shoulders, and we know who we are as people.
Well, I have a giant head on mine, but...
Yeah, that's for sure. But, like, I don't know. It's
that
a bit
brain.
It's good to see, like, if you think of all the podcasts
the tumor.
In our scene, there's, like, 3 of them. And yeah, I think you guys have the most respectable one. That's why every time somebody brings you guys on stage, they say they introduce you by being on the podcast. So, obviously, you guys are doing something good here. And
yeah, that was one of the goals, was that, like, the fact that this just happened was it felt like a miracle. Because, again, like, the way I was described it was, like, Stephen asked me and David to do it, then...
Which is an honor, because there's a lot of people in the scene.
Chose us.
Yeah.
Well, we thought it was just going to be a comic thing.
Yeah, it was on Monday.
It was going to get dropped.
It was on Monday at Dunedin, as I remember.
Yeah.
Well, then by Friday, vacation, he's like,
we're doing
back.
This Sunday.
Yeah.
And we're like, holy shit.
Yeah, you guys have been consistent with it. That's really hard to do, is, like, be consistent with the podcast.
Yeah, that's been the good thing.
Well, the thing is, and this is the very uncomfortable part of it, like, people who aren't comics will ask to be on sometimes. I'm like, I don't know how to tell them, like, it's a comics clubhouse sort of thing. Like, I'm trying to keep it to just like us and a comic guest, like, because I feel like the people who are not comics are just going to make it a really weird energy and like not.
And it's like, what do you talk about, you know? And like, and you want your listener, you want it to be like your listeners to be comics, you know, and people that like comedy. You don't want it to be people that like science
we
or fucking politics.
Yeah, what I was saying for that post in the Tampa Bay comedy thing was that, like, we don't really have an agenda besides have a good time and just try to be funny.
Like, yeah, we didn't really do much of that today.
Politics
but...
and shit
yeah. everywhere else. Yeah.
No, there's some.
Well, yeah, we got a little negative energy hanging over this because of the whole Joe List thing. I think that's what I'm chalking it up to. That's karma, Joe.
I'll never forget.
Yeah.
I'll remember this forever.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't know, dude. It's I wouldn't be doing this if Steven didn't do it all. Like, I have to thank him because he like not only like came up with the idea of it all, but like just he like. I'm fucking lazy, and, like, I'm horrible at doing shit consistently, and, like, you're saying you have to do shit consistently. Mm-hmm. He makes sure that we're here Sunday. It's like, I can be funny, you just gotta tell me time and when. Like, he's almost like the manager of it all. You know what I mean? If I didn't have that,
he is
I
wouldn't do this.
Because I did do a podcast on my own. It was just me in a closet talking to myself, like a Bill Burr style.
Yeah.
And it was fucking atrocious. But it,
some girlfriend of it, pounding on the door.
No.
Shut the fuck up in there!
Some of it was funny.
Were you smoking cigarettes in the closet again?
No. Some of it was funny, but yeah, it took me, like, you know, I had to try to pull it out. But what I would do was just, like, list topics of, like, shit in the media, and then I would just rant about it. And most of it's just garbage. But yeah. Some of it was gold. You know, I'd come to some gold in there. But having other people here is way better because you can bounce shit off of them.
Yeah, and I love podcasts because it forces you to not be on your phone. It forces you to be in the moment and have an actual conversation in a controlled environment. And, like, that's my favorite thing, you know,
I think I've gotten better at just, like, talking to people. Since,
it helps with stage presence and shit. I've noticed for me it helped me.
Well, yeah, David changed a lot since we started doing this.
It's all how to dial him.
No, Matt didn't change one bit.
I'm still just as inoffensive.
He's actually regressed.
Just goes up on stage.
Yeah,
anyone here watch The Simpsons?
You fucking jackals are the reason why I'm just floundering.
We're holding you back.
We're holding you back.
I was doing so well.
You goddamn albatrosses.
Sandbagging sons of bitches.
Yeah, so it's good that you guys are doing this, especially for, like, the scene and just, like, having, you know, I really like Bobby's, too. Bobby's got a good one, Find a Stone, but his isn't comic, you know, it's not comic-driven. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, Bobby's is so, like, I know everything about everything, dude.
Yeah, which is
that's
weird.
That's a pretty good impression.
See that's my impression of him.
Because he's like, I know everything about everything, but I'm also kind of a fucking moron.
yeah, exactly. He's like, but you shouldn't take any of this
seriously. Yeah, but he'll be,
That's a sign of a true genius, though, is that you know nothing.
That's what I like about it. He's like...
Yeah, I love Bobby. He's so great.
What the fuck are you talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about.
I just love fucking with him about, you know, being in the top four. I know it drives him crazy.
The side splitters competition.
Yeah. Oh, call him top four killer Katie.
He's like, stop it.
I know, he gets so bad. It's funny.
I mean, that got him opportunities, you know? He's doing guest spots at side splitters a lot and hosting the mic there, so I mean...
Yeah, I mean, that's a great credit to your name.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I lost first fucking round.
Who'd you lose to?
Crush. Barry Yule, I think it was. Some dude from Jacksonville. Doesn't even live here. Yeah, coming to my fucking hometown. Take me on my stage. I was pissed.
Get taken down by a goddamn ringer.
Well, I get out of my car, and then I noticed like a Mustang had just pulled up, and like eight fucking people pile out of this Mustang. I'm like, I didn't even know you could fit eight people in a goddamn Mustang.
Right.
And then he's like walking over. I'd never even seen him. And everyone's like, Barry! I'm like, that's the guy I'm going against, and all these people are here to see him. I think BZ told me he brought like 12 to 15 people, and I brought nobody because I'm like, I don't know anybody, first of all. I'm going to tell comics, hey, come vote for me, guys. Yeah. I'm not going to do that shit. So.
Well, that's the thing.
And honestly, CJ recorded my set. I watched it back. I fucking ate dicks, so I deserve to lose.
Yeah.
It was horrible. I'm like, what am I doing up there? Like, I'm watching. I'm like, there's no energy. I'm very awkward, nervous. I was, too. I didn't drink, so I felt nervous. But anyway, I deserved to lose, so I wasn't, like a... You know, whatever.
And Vinny kicked my ass.
Yeah, Vinny's strong.
He's so good. He isn't getting a lot of credit in his scene for some reason.
No, everybody shits on him.
Well, why?
Because he doesn't hang out. He'll come do mics, and then he doesn't really hang out with people.
Yeah, but, like, who cares? Like,
well, I'm just saying. But that's
what it is,
I told him that. I'm like, dude, I'm like, people are going to shit on you, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to do my thing. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm like, I don't care. Do your thing.
And he's
you know?
Doing his thing.
He's helped me out. He's giving me spots at places.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can't hate on the guy.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier about just having your face around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does make a difference. Regardless. Yeah,
but he does his own shows, though. He's got his own merch. He's got the crap comedy thing going.
Yeah. So it's like, he doesn't
need He's blazing us. His own trail. Yeah, he doesn't need to hang out at open mics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's more elusive.
He just went to Laughing Skull, which I'm going to talk to him about if I ever see him again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in forever.
Yeah, but he's hard to come by.
Yeah, but...
Dead air.
The dog's just chilling.
Piper. Yeah, she's the mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess the next goal is to make it to 50 episodes.
Is that the goal?
Yeah, I think so.
What's your?
We already made it to 25.
What's your guys' goal in comedy this year? Like for until you know rest of 2018.
Improv main stage.
Yeah, hosting. Yeah. I want to be hosting. Fuck, I guess it.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to host at Side Splitters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like they're very
and with the, yeah reasonable. Improv. I think I like Side Splitters too, but improv is so many people leaving now, so it's like whoever the fuck will put me up there and pay me, I'm down for it at right. this point. You know what I mean?
Do they pay better than Side Splitters?
I don't know the pay. No. I have no idea, but I just... It definitely it's a shitload of people there. Yeah.
At this point, I don't have the luxury to be like, oh, how much
do you... No, I was just wondering why you chose improv over Side Splitters. I was wondering if that was the ambitious factor.
Well, he's already done the main stage at Side Splitters. He hasn't done improv.
Oh, okay.
Stage, that's why.
Yeah.
I haven't.
That's what I mean. You yeah. Oh, that's yeah, why yeah. you chose.
I don't
that's
think any of us have.
Yeah, I haven't done.
No, so it's like... that. It seems like... That's a good goal to work towards. Well, actually, all of them are. Never mind.
Yeah, but it's unattainable. You're not gonna be like, I'm going to be headlining improv. I mean, right. technically, you could. You could just rent it out for $400 or whatever the fuck it costs. And just put yourself as a headliner if you want.
Is that all it costs?
I think so, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I know. I was going to talk to you about something about that. But yeah. moving on.
Yeah, because you can put on your own show at Coconuts for like $150, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all it costs.
Yeah.
It was like one. We got things we to talk about.
That's what I said. Like, that's why I was like, yeah.
On off night?
Like, you can't do a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Maybe a Sunday or Wednesday.
Yeah, because I think we Chris Schubeck did one last year. It might have been a Wednesday, something like that.
You got to sell your own, you can sell your own tickets, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you recoup the cost that way.
Yeah.
Like, right. you're just paying them $150 for the room.
Yeah, you're renting the room, and then you're, a lot of comics do that. They'll rent out, like, halls.
Do they actually give you servers?
They'll rent theaters and then sell the tickets themselves.
What's up? Do they give you servers?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We'd have to work all that bullshit out. Because I know some people that have booked the improv, so I want to talk to them. Because I recently just found this out, so I want to talk to them and find out more about that.
Mm.
Maybe a goal could be a How to Die Alone showcase.
Yeah.
Like everybody that you've ever had on the... or the UN.
Jesus. No, we don't want to do more than like...
Not against the comedians. I've seen the sheer number of comics that we've had on. It would be like a, 20-person fucking show? Mm. No. Like, I'm putting my foot down right now. No.
So it's an open mic in the main stage and we lose money. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
No fucking way. No, because I think anytime there's more than like five comedians on a show, that's too much.
Yeah.
Too fucking many people. Like,
yeah, sometimes I get mad like when we do the O'Brien show and like let's say like Real will show up. He's so good that like, you know, Roger likes to like put him on stage because he showed up to support the mic. I was like, did he show up to support the show or did he just come to, you know, he knew that he'd get on stage either at the mic or at the show. And then so we like throw him on there. And then we have like seven comedians and then a paid headliner. And it's like, bro, like the headliner gets on and people are sick of comedy already, you know? And then so like I get kind of frustrated sometimes when we just throw people on stage and we don't need people. Like we have a full lineup. We don't need people to throw it on. I understand once in a while, like a guest, like a little 5-minute guest set, but then like 10-minute, like 2 10-minute guest sets right before a headliner goes up. I'm like, bro. Like,
well, you've seen the way those like Long Island shows are booked, like.
Yeah, it's fucking way too many people.
Like, it looks like a fucking high school graduation.
Bro, you can't even see people's picture because the pixel's so small because there's so many pixels of like, pictures of people.
And I'm just like, how are people staying for that? Like, even if everyone's only doing 5 minutes, you've got like 15 people.
Yeah, it's exhausting because your brain is like getting, like, has to like register to a new person every time. New person.
Well, and a lot of comics really tread the same shit. Like, so.
Yeah, like Tinder, this, that.
Tinder, vegans, dick pics. Dick pics, Matt.
Dick. Just dick in general.
That one's like a 3-minute like masterpiece of dick pics. I was like, all right, if I'm going to do a dick pics joke, I'm going to make this dick pic joke that I haven't heard anybody else do. So
yeah, for sure.
Like that. Like anytime I have a long, like
a long dick pic.
Yeah, you know I don't have those
long girthy dick.
Anytime I have like a long, like long bit, It's usually where I'm just trying to go, like, this is how I'm doing this.
Which is, we're supposed to do tag on tag on tag on tag.
Right.
It gets more respect from the audience.
Yeah, just as long as you're not doing it open mics anymore, Matt.
Shut up.
Do you guys like writing, like, about, like, your life? Or do you like writing about, like, the outside life? Like, you know?
It's
like the world.
I like writing about whatever pops in my head, honest to God. Yeah. Like, if I think of something and I'm like, that's kind of funny, then I just, like, start playing with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you worry about, like, transitions and, like,
No, at all. Never. I don't give a shit about transitions.
No segues.
Right. Huh? No segues.
No yeah, there's no need. Like, the crowd is going to go with you. Like, they understand it's jokes.
Yeah.
It's more weird to force it. In the 80s, it
was
more...
Yeah, it was more of the crafting a set. I mean, people don't even say that anymore. I'm crafting my act. It's like, I don't really hear people say that as much.
I think
it's like they used to. I mean, now if you're doing like a corporate gig, you might want some like cohesiveness to it. But other than that,
I just
when you go to a comedy club, they kind of know what they're getting into. You know what I mean?
But when like if I'm up there talking about like my son losing his tooth, and then I transition into like, you know, like a dick joke right after that, it's just kind of like out of place. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
just
like it can.
You should not be next to children.
No, yeah. You get a laugh from that though. You know what I mean?
You can.
Yeah,
because you can be like, speaking of dicks, and just, like, go into that, like, or something like that. And
yeah.
Just,
I'll do that stuff, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, where it's just, like,
because
completely element of surprise of just, like, being weird. Like, whoa, this dude's just talking about raising his son. Now he's talking about slapping a stripper's ass or something like that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you can switch the order around to where you think it might flow better.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I try to have it, like, more centralized. If I'm going to be talking about, like, the world and not me, I try to have the world stuff in the middle. Or maybe you're at the end, and then, like, the me stuff in the beginning, kind of, you know?
Sure. You always want to do a beginning about yourself.
Or yeah, kind of just let everyone know who you are.
Try to make a quick joke.
That's what
the audience will fucking hate you after, like, 30 seconds.
That's what I
they'll make their mind up, like, it's like girls, you know? They're like, I'm not going to fuck that guy. They, like, no.
Yeah.
So an audience will be like, after, like, if your first punch is until, like, a minute into your joke, they're going to be, they're already catching out. Dude.
Then you just see the phones come out.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess that was one thing. Like, I hate talking about myself, or I'm just like, why would anybody want to know about me?
Exactly. We hate listening to you.
Well, it's because you're on stage and they're staring at you, and you have a mic, so you have to kind of, like, establish
yourself. Yeah.
And you're not talking about yourself. You're talking about them in a relatable aspect, but yourself.
Right. And that was this one thing I had struggled with. I don't want to say struggled with, but it was just like, who gives a shit what I'm talking about? But the fact that I'm on stage talking about it, it's like I have to make them give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like,
so Lucy,
and I guess that was a thing that I always felt guilty because I'm like, I have all day, I've had years to think about this stuff, and here's this 5 minutes of garbage that I'm giving you guys.
That's exactly.
It's like, this is it. This is the best I can get to make you guys like me.
Louis started a special like that. He was like, I have no reason to be out here talking to you. Like, you have no, you know what I mean? He's like, I don't know how to start a special anymore. It was, like, really funny.
Well, that's one of the things that you have to learn doing it is just genuinely, most people don't give a shit about you as a comic.
Right.
Like, because people will be like, or why are they talking during my set? It's like, because they don't know you.
Yeah. Man. Like, in general, like, you don't walk up to strangers on the street just because, you know, they're wearing a suit. And they're on stage. You know, well,
I think David wants to wear a suit.
No, like, I'm just saying. Like, when you see stranger, you don't give a fuck about that person. But just because you're on stage with a mic, I'm supposed to care about you now, and then you have to make them care. And that's the hard part.
Well, it's that thing where you're, like, trying to be a comic, but, like, to them, you're kind of at the level of, like, guy begging for change outside. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's
almost like an interview.
I'm not going to make eye contact.
Yeah. Like, it's an interview process in the first, like, few minutes where you gotta be like, no, you guys like me, right? You wanna hire me for this.
I'll do bar mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Come on. Right?
Do you guys wanna do some plugs?
Yeah.
Alright. Rippy first.
Oh, May 19th and May 20th, I'm doing a Going Away show at Beef O'Brady's in Parrish, Florida. It's by Ellington Outlet Malls. We have, I think, maybe two tickets left for the 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. show for the Saturday, the 19th. And then we have the last show.
Dan G said Saturday sold.
Yeah, he said there's like one ticket left, but you can definitely push for like two.
Okay.
We can definitely bring an extra chair in.
What do you got going on the 9th?
On the 9th? I don't know. Why?
Do I have some going on
tonight? Don't you have a roast battle going on tonight?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah, oh, yeah.
I'll help you.
O'Brien's is May 9th. We're doing a roast battle. Some of the comedians in the scene are coming out, some of the judges. We're doing the roast battle because it's been so the stand-up has been kind of lacking lately as far as the crowd listening. So we want to switch it up, make it a little more interesting, and you know, have some fun up there. Do it for us, you know, not for them.
Right.
And it's going to be good. We're kind of mirroring the way the FUBAR roast is. We're kind of mirroring how they do it because that's the only one I've ever seen. So thanks, Kubo. Nice. May 9th, 9:30, O'Brien's and Brandon, be there.
Then 19th and 20th at Beef O'Brady's in Parrish.
Yep, got some tickets left. Hit me up, comics.
I only have the roast battle May 30th, actually.
It's a bit away. But...
yeah, FUBAR. And that's even if it's going to happen. Who knows with fucking Koopa?
Everyone's going to back out.
Oh, yeah, last
minute. It won't be promoted until the
29th. I'll just go to the improv after, then if that's the case.
Oh, they struggle to put it on, or what?
The last one was a shit show, like the day of. He's like texting me, you want to do the roast tonight? No, I need to prepare jokes.
Is that the one where James Mayfist beat you? Or is that the one before Matt?
Don't bring that up. No, but... Matt's not listening. No, you're dead.
No, I heard it.
No, I heard it.
I just don't acknowledge it.
There's an asterisk next to his name. I'll say it.
Yep.
What do you got, though, Matty? What do you got?
Roger Nelson's show coming up this month.
The 18th?
I thought it was the 11th. Thank God. It's the 18th. Then.
Well, unless you're on the Pegasus one, that's the 11th.
No. Okay. That was the one that I guess I did a mind trick and forced myself onto. So the 18th is...
Wait, you are doing the 11th?
Huh? No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, in my head I was. So I got the 18th, May 18th, with Paul Bond.
Yeah. Gonna be a good one. And John Silly Sillman.
John
Silly. Are you freaking kidding me? He's going to be there?
Spoiler alert. More than 7 minutes.
I was supposed to be on that show.
What happened?
I guess I'm not good enough.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I was like, welcome to the business, kid. it's like y'all work together. You don't have to.
What do you got, Steven?
May 11th, I'll be doing the show at Pegasus. I think that's at 9, I think.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
And then, are you on that?
Yeah, I think. Oh, yeah. Did you get
Why
more details?
Did you not mention it?
I did at the beer when I was talking to you about it.
You didn't mention it here. We're doing plugs.
Oh. I don't know how many plugs I have. Like my calendar is pretty full. I didn't want to just keep plugging everything. Like I didn't want to plug a whole bunch of stuff.
I just plugged for the next week. So.
Oh, my bad. No, well, I'm not gonna be back here next week.
Yeah, that's why he only does it weekly.
Yeah, I wanted to do my big one, my big plug.
No, that's fine. Fair. You're okay. Good. So May 11th, Pegasus. I guess Rippy's on it. So look out for that. May 13th, I'll be hosting the Size Splitters open mic.
Oh, snap, bro. Yeah.
Woo.
May 14th, I'll be in the contest at McCurdy's.
Oh, with your boy.
Nice.
Are you going to be there that day?
Yes.
Nice.
Bro, I told you that.
The 16th, I'll be on Roger Nelson's show with Paul Bond in Lakeland.
I was supposed to be on that.
<Just kidding. laughs> Some heat going on. And then the only other thing I really have is May 19th. I'll be doing a set at Janice Live around 8:30. The tickets dropped to $5. So like, if you guys could come, that'd be cool. Because like, I mean, that's dirt cheap. Please,
please.
I got no place else to go.
It's gonna be weird doing jokes in front of a big empty space.
Oh yeah. Cavernous.
Are you gonna film it?
only if there's turnout. Like if it's just me and like five people, I'm probably not going to.
It's That'd just be crazy how big of a like, big of a venue it is. That, like play, if it doesn't like
yeah, yeah you just play yeah. to like it's sold out and there's five people.
You should knock on the apartments that are by there and be like, "Yo, can you go on your balcony and watch my set?"
How am I doing?
They may come out.
Yeah, they make them.
Yeah, then they just started launching stuff from their balconies onto the
stage. Bro, can you imagine living there?
Boo.
Can you imagine?
I knew a guy that lived there.
Bro, like, that'd be so annoying. Shows, yeah. I mean, it'd be cool if you like people, but then, like, every weekend there's, like, freaking J. Cole, Lil Wayne, like, loud ass.
I'm pretty sure they know what they're getting into.
Yeah, you can't hear it, actually. The houses are really soundproof.
Really?
Yeah, because there was a show going on.
So it's for, like, serial killers only?
Yeah. There was a guy that I knew worked there. He was on some, like, TV show, some country, like, local show. Can't remember his name. It was like a girl I worked with. She was dating him at the time, so we all went and hung out. So I went to his house. I don't really know him. But I went to his house, and there was like a concert going on. I didn't even know it. And he's like, "Yeah, it's pretty good in here." And I'm like, I looked down there. It was like some. I don't remember what band was playing. Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, his like balcony was like you could look over the stage, so you're like looking down on top of the singers. It was really trippy.
I always look down on them.
Oh well.
Yeah. Fuck you and your music.
Damn talent! Get out of here!
Alright, so.
It's been fun.
It's been fun. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for making it all the way out here.
Yeah, man.
I know we're not conveniently located.
No, and it was kind of like coming to Dunedin, and I hate going to Dunedin Brewery. Like, it was the exact same kind of feel to it. Yeah,
kind of. You hated it.
Yeah. There's so many turns and like side highways, and then it was weird, but thanks for having me, dude.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Alright. Bye, everybody.
Bye.